What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, we're going to be breaking down an Alex Sarr masterclass, especially on the defensive end, but also some of what I was able to see from him on offense that I really liked as well. I'm going to dive into Trey Johnson, already looking like a really phenomenal pick, building off that excellent first summer league game and moving into another efficient night. We're going to touch on Will Riley, Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, Liam Robbins, anyone that played, and kind of breaking down Washington's 102-96 victory over Brooklyn from Sunday night. So without further ado, you can't really start anywhere but Alex Sarr. Full stat line for Washington's second-year big man, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 8 blocks. I'll repeat that. 8 blocks for Alex Sarr, 7 to 15 from the field. Didn't make a three, but that's okay. Still shot relatively efficient from the field. But again, the 8 blocks is the real treat. Plus 16, I believe, was a game high. So again, you know, efficient shooting, good plus minus, was able to get on the glass, especially the offensive glass. Had a couple of nice putbacks, some dunks as well. But the 8 blocks is obviously the sticking point there, just everywhere on the defensive end. And it's not like he didn't have his lapses. You know, Drew Timmy had 30. It wasn't all on Sarr, but wasn't like the most flawless game. However, what he does best, which is protecting the rim, you saw that on full display. I mean, just chasing down guys from the trail position and swatting shots, help defense, recovery defense, blocking shots, in transition, being able to, like I said, hawk down offensive players from behind in the post as well. Like he stood his ground and he was roaming too, which I like to see. If the Wizards do end up playing him as a four in a too big lineup, there were times where, you know, obviously on the weak side, he was able to come over and offer that rim protection. There were even times like he had 8 blocks. He very well could have had double digit blocks. There were multiple times where guys dribbling into the paint kind of gave Sarr a look up and down and said, you know what, I'm good, bro. I'm going to dribble this one back out to the perimeter. Let's reset this possession because I'm kind of scared that my shot's going to get packed up by this guy down low. And those are some of the plays that don't show up in the box score that Alex Sarr is able to offer defensively. And even without them taking some of those shots, he still was able to put together an 8-block performance. So really enjoyed that aspect of his game. Like I mentioned, you know, a slower start and you know, the take started to fly immediately because Sarr missed a couple of bunnies around the rim. You know, there were times, there was one possession in particular that was just such like an Alex Sarr possession, very, you know, Alex Sarr-like, where he got the ball in the roll, had a wide open lane, honestly could have gone for a big dunk, went for like a little short push shot and missed it short off the front rim. The rebound caroms out to the corner and Sarr runs to the corner, chases it down, grabs it and like flings it behind his head. Then Trey Johnson catches it, sends it back to Sarr. He goes in hard and slams a pretty aggressive two-hand tomahawk dunk. And again, like if he had done that before, it might have been an and one. It would have been obviously an emphatic dunk, but he decided to play it soft and not play aggressive, not really attack the rim like he should. And then he chases down for the rebound. And then when he goes in strong, good things happen. So again, you know, there were times around the rim where I didn't like his lack of aggression. But when he went up strong, he had a couple of offensive rebounds, I believe 3 in the first half, some putback dunks and one here and there. So again, I did like what I saw offensively. I'm not going to, you know, glaze it like I did his defense because his offense certainly wasn't as eye-popping. But again, it was fine. I mean, it's funny because if you look back, I believe it was July 16th. It was the Wizards' third summer league game last year where he was 0 of 15, 0 points, 0 of 7 from 3. You got the Kwame Brown comps flying, you know, the takes of Alex Sarr being yet another draft bust from the Wizards. And again, you know, I tried to temper those expectations like, hey, like this might not be the environment for him. He's clearly pressing. He needs a point guard to set him up. Let's chill. And then obviously he makes all rookie first team, has a good solid rookie campaign, and flash forward nearly a year later, and he's the most dominant player, obviously on the defensive end, and has a good two-way showing with 8 blocks, 16 points, 2 boards, was a plus 16, so affected Washington's 6-point win in a positive way. Pretty funny to see, you know, how much a difference a year can make. So again, really enjoyed what I saw from Sarr, particularly on the defensive end. Wanted to obviously start off the show talking about that type of performance, because I thought it was quite impressive from Sarr. I thought he had a side, and you didn't hear from me after the first game, but again, this is more recent, so I don't want to harp on that too much. But I thought after a slow start there, he also shook it off and was way more aggressive in the second half. Pretty similar to what we saw tonight when he was pretty aggressive after the first like 2-3 minutes. He kind of turned it on, and that's obviously nice to see him, you know, figuring it out as the game goes on, getting better as the game goes on. That's a nice skill set to have. So again, really liked what I saw from him. And then obviously, you know, you can't really go into the next part of this pod without mentioning Trey Johnson. The first summer league game was just some really impressive stuff, man. 18 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 7 of 13 from the field, and 3 of 5 from three in Washington's loss to Phoenix. He just looks so comfortable. I mean, he's a 19-year-old rookie coming in and playing really good competition, and he's unfazed. Like, he's just going out there like it's just another hoop sesh where, okay, I'm gonna go get my looks here from three. The shot is just pure. Like, that's the biggest takeaway I've seen. Is it's so, you know, strange for a rookie to come in. He rises up for a three, and I'm like, you know what, that's gonna go in. I'm confident in it. Versus, we know when you had your Johnny Davises in 2022, you're like, oh, he made a three. Like, wow, that's impressive. I'm excited about that. Even Bilal Coulibaly, you know, and Bub Carrington, Alex Sarr, when they made threes the last couple of years, like, oh, that's a nice bonus. Let's see if they can continue that. But now with Trey Johnson, it's like, oh, yeah, he made another three. Like, is anybody surprised? You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It almost seems like he's too good. Not too good for summer league, but like, at this point, it feels like we're watching a second-year player coming out and, you know, basically saying like, hey, I played against NBA-level competition last year. This type of competition's good, but it's beneath me. Like, I can still get to my spots. I can still cook. I can still play really well. He's playing like a seasoned vet, which is rare for a guy who, you know, is only starting. He's played his first 2 summer league games, and he already looks so comfortable, you know, getting to his spots, getting his shot off. Doesn't seem rushed. I think that's the biggest thing. He's not sped up against increased competition, increased defense. He's just playing his game. And I feel like we see that a lot in summer league. I definitely saw with Johnny Davis, Bilal Coulibaly as well. At times, all three of the rookies from last year, where they were just kind of, the game was a little too fast for them in summer league. It's not the case for Trey Johnson. Like, he's so calm and collected and just getting everything he wants. And it's pretty rare to see that, you know. Obviously scored from all three levels in Washington's game against Brooklyn. The start was impressive. You know, it's obviously a really good showing, efficient showing, 7-13 against Phoenix in game one. And you're expecting a pretty good follow-up performance. And he just starts off like he was fired out of a cannon. 10 points, scored Washington's 10 of Washington's first 12 points of the night. Efficient 4-5 shooting as well, which included a pair of threes. Just so pure. I tweeted it out. Like, he's unreal. Because again, it's just effortless the way he's able to score the ball. There doesn't seem to be that, like, the leap that he's making. Like, there doesn't seem to be the, oh, I'm playing against increased competition, let me feel it out first. No, like, he's there. He knows what he's got to do, and he's able to do it. There were a couple plays that stuck out to me from Trey tonight against Brooklyn. The first obviously being the start in general, being able to just come out firing like he did. But again, like, there was one play where he had it isolated on the right wing. He put together a bunch of dribble moves and he wasn't getting anywhere. It showed off his dribble package. That's kind of all it did. But he was able to find some daylight to the left. And it was actually good defense from the defender. Pretty good contest. But Trey had a counter for pretty much everything. Kind of pump faked, waited a really long time in the air, adjusted in midair, and kind of sank a tough floater from the left side, from kind of the left block area, left elbow. But it was a really impressive move from Trey. I like the dribble moves. Like, again, that's something that I've been pleasantly surprised with. I knew he could, you know, be a good off ball shooter when fed the ball, but I liked his creation. Was able to get to the rim a little bit later in the game, got fouled, obviously, Didn't shoot well from the line. I believe he was, what, 3 of 5, which, again, isn't terrible for his standards. I'd expect a little better. But like I said, just the ability to score in multiple ways, to get to his spots, he seems so comfortable. And that's the theme of the last 5 minutes of this pod, is just the comfortability he plays with. He doesn't get sped up, which is, it's rare, even in summer league, for a 19-year-old rookie. That's a rare skill set to have. And again, another really good showing from Trey Johnson. 21 points, 3 boards, 7 of 11 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, was a plus 15. So behind Sarr, the second best plus minus in the game. And I'll mention, like I've mentioned with his efficiency, ability to score in multiple ways, 33% from 3, that's not bad. But he also didn't miss a singular 2-point shot. He was 5 of 5 from inside the arc. So again, when he was able to get to the mid-range, get to his spots there, floaters, layups around the rim, he was very efficient, and that didn't miss, obviously, from inside 3-point range. So really liked the showing that Trey Johnson put forth as well. A nice little two-headed snake there with your guard and Trey, and then Sarr down low patrolling the paint. They were kind of the leading forces in the Wizards' 102-96 win over Brooklyn. Moving forward, Bub Carrington. Now, this is a guy that if I did record a pod after the first game, the praise wouldn't really, I wouldn't say be there, wouldn't have been existent. I didn't think he was as bad as the numbers show. I believe he was 1 of 9 from the field, a couple turnovers, did not have a great floor game. But again, didn't think he was that bad. Again, just didn't get his shot going and had some struggles as a point guard. Again, Bob's only 19, remember. He's a second-year player. He's a young 19, still trying to find his way. He played a lot of off-ball minutes last year with Poole leading the way. And it happened with Poole even 5-6 years into the league, playing point guard is a different ball game. And Bob will obviously, I think, endure a similar transition process like Poole did, where early on it might not look that great. But once he starts to get a feel for it and gets comfortable in those minutes with his teammates, then you'll start to see that comfortability shine through statistically and in terms of his floor game, in terms of Washington's wins and losses as well. So not a great first showing from Bub, but I thought he bounced back quite well. And again, Sarr, didn't start well, had a couple turnovers, missed some shots early, had a bricked 3 in the game against Brooklyn in the very early goings. But again, another good bounce back showing. Finished 5 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, and that included a pair of transition threes, which is one of the toughest shots I'll say in the game. Going full speed, stopping on a dime, having the touch to be able to not put too much, not let your momentum carry you into a longer shot. He's able to steady himself and that the change of pace to be able to stop on a dime and rise up and shoot the 3. He's very confident in that shot. He's one of the few players in the league that I think has the transition 3 in their game. I know Dame, obviously Steph, and Bub's nowhere near that level of efficiency. But at the same time, it's nice to see that he was efficient tonight, 3 of 4 from 3, 5 of 7 from the field. But I thought he played a really good floor game, finished with 17 points, was a plus 13, 3 assists, 6 boards. So I liked what I saw from him, 5 turnovers. And like I said, that's another learning curve, 5 turnovers to 3 assists as your primary point guard. That's never okay. That's never good. But there are some decisions. There was one I remember where he was in the pick and roll with Sarr, and he kind of got a little bit of a blitz thrown at him at the top of the key. And Sarr, instead of rolling all the way, kind of stopped to the 3-point line for a pick and pop. A little miscommunication there. Bub kind of sails the pass and leads him, and it's a turnover transition bucket. Those are some of the plays that I saw, just some miscommunications, obviously some forces from Bub, but there were some good skip passes. There were some good vision moments from Bub as the lead guard, finding shooters in the corner, getting 2 feet in the paint. That's something I think he needs to do more of, is just kind of getting in the paint, breaking down, facilitating, and getting good looks for others, and his shot will come off that. The mid-range will come off that. So again, I like the floor game that he played. He's got to limit the turnovers, but young guard, only 19, still acclimating to being this lead guard. It's going to take some time, but I did like some of the flashes that Bub showed. I did, especially the transition threes. That's a pretty cool shot to have in your arsenal. The efficiency, 5 of 7, 3 of 4 from 3. So again, not mad at that. He also arguably the biggest shot of the game. I believe it was to give Washington a 4-point lead. It was a 1-point game for a bit. Hits a big time three to give the Wizards a 4-point lead, you know, with about 50 seconds left. So pretty nice last three-ish quarters, maybe a little more for Bub. And again, a good bounce back after a pretty rough, lackluster showing in game one against Phoenix. That's Bub. We hit on Sar, we hit on Johnson, we hit on Bub. I promise I'm not going to go through every player individually, but I will touch a bit on some other guys. And I'm going to get to Keyshawn in a bit, but I'll talk about Will Riley for a second, because again, Trey Johnson's getting all the hype and like rightfully so, because he's the leading scorer for Washington through two summer league games efficiently. I think he's 14 of 24. Shout out my guy, Will Clayton. I believe I saw that on your page. Through two games, Trey's 14 to 24 from the field. So really efficient for him as well. But Will Riley, 21st pick, has kind of flown under the radar. And he, I think, maybe had 3 points, maybe five, in Washington's first summer league game. Wasn't anything spectacular, but also nothing too bad. But he came out against Brooklyn, and he looked like a different player, like a player with a little bit more confidence now that he had a game under his belt to kind of feel out summer league and the competition, and get a hang of playing summer league ball, was playing with those teammates, because he dropped 16 points against Brooklyn on just six shots. Like 16 on six shots is pretty impressive. 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3-point range. Which included, shots in a plethora of ways. Like he had off an inbounds play. It was a good play design from J.J. Outlaw, Washington's head coach in summer league. Riley came off an off-ball screen, kind of rolled to the right wing and got himself set, sank a nice little movement three ball, sank some set shots as well from the three when he was set up by teammates. There was one play in particular on the left baseline where he kind of hung in the air, just like I talked about with Johnson earlier. Got his defender in the air, drew an and one. On the other end in the first half, he had a sweet up and under where he pump fake, got his defender flying, stepped through, sank a nice floater and one there. So again, I like that he was able to score in multiple ways. It didn't get to the rim, but was able to draw some fouls, kind of work in that floater mid-range area, but also showcasing that three-point shot that probably was what got him drafted with that upside there. So really like what I saw from Riley, a nice efficient game, 16 points on 5 of 6 from the field. That's kind of his role, I think, especially early on, be able to knock down the three ball, score in some other ways, when they close out to you, be able to put the ball on the deck, draw some contact. I think the defense has to get it better, and that'll come with putting on some muscle too. But again, I didn't view him as a liability. I don't believe at any point, even in the first game as well on defense. But really did like what I saw from Riley. I think that role being, a nice floor spacer, knocking down the three ball when he's open, is certainly what his role could be, next season as a rookie. And obviously that's, the Wizards hope that expands to more than that in the future. But I did like overall what I saw from Riley. And now talking about a guy that a lot of people have compared Riley to is Keyshawn George. And I mean, I didn't get to come on here after his first summer league game. But he was so impressive, like easily Washington. Trey Johnson was great, don't get me wrong, but Keyshawn in that game against Phoenix was easily Washington's best player. 24 points, 7 boards, 10 of 18 from the field, 3 steals. Just really looked like a confident, comfortable player. And now fast forward to Sunday's game against Brooklyn. Every single thing that I saw in that first game, I also saw in the second game, with an exception of the shot. Like the shot fell against Phoenix. It just didn't fall against Brooklyn. Same amount of shot attempts. He took, I believe, 18 or 16 shots versus 18. He was 4 of 16, 1 of 8 from 3 against Brooklyn. So again, got good looks. He was short on a lot of his threes. So I don't know what that was about. Maybe it's just the legs and getting back into the conditioning. But I did notice he was short on some of his outside attempts. But again, you can't ever fault him for the defense. I mean, this kid's hands are so impressive. His ability, his timing to know when to go for a steal, when to kind of ease up, that's been prevalent. He's got 8 steals through two summer league games, averaging 4 a game, at 5 against Brooklyn, including when the game was tight. He had a nice little steal from behind to get Washington possession back, which I don't know if it was the one that led to Bub's three, but certainly was a really good play from George. It was just a pest for Brooklyn on the defensive perimeter. I will say, again, like, added 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, 10 points, was a plus 8. So everything but his shot was good. Again, I do think he needs to stop fouling as much. He fouled a lot against Phoenix, nearly fouled out there, had 5 fouls against Brooklyn on Sunday. So again, I think he needs to be, I like the aggression he shows. I'm never going to fault him for that, but maybe be a little smarter with that aggression, because he does get himself into foul trouble quite a bit, even dating back to his rookie season. So that's maybe the one downside to George in the first 2 games, but he's clearly, you know, shown that he's the best or one of the best players on the floor in both games. The steals, the defensive timing, the instincts on that end are always there. And if the shot's falling, like you saw in game 1, he's very well. And even if it's not, like you saw in game 2, he still find ways to impact the game with 9 boards, 6 assists, plus 8, still managed to get 10 points, obviously the 5 steals. So again, not eye-popping numbers like scoring-wise, like you saw from George in the first game, but was still a fan of what I saw there. AJ Johnson was, again, really good off the bench, I thought, in Washington's first game against Phoenix. A little bit more of a quiet night for AJ. 3 of 5, so still pretty efficient. 8 points, 4 boards. Again, for all the AJ point guard hype, no assists, 2 turnovers. And they were pretty bad turnovers, if I recall correctly. So, like, nothing to write home about from AJ off the bench. But, again, nothing that bad. He had a couple of nice takes, I thought, to the rim. Drew a foul as well. So I did like what I saw from him, just not, I guess, as much as I liked from the first game. Certainly didn't see too much of the point guard instincts that a lot of Wizards fans seem to harp on. I'm not saying AJ can't be a point guard in this league. I'm just saying, as of now, like, I know someone, even after the game or during the game, with Bub Struggles, asked who I was higher on as a point guard, AJ or Bub. Like, We can't be getting into those conversations. They're both really young guards, and they're going to have turnovers. They're going to make some mistakes in that role. I'm still going to stick with Bub. Like, I think he can be that lead guard. But again, I think Wizards fans are getting into that Jordan Poole realm yet again. They're not learning from what happened early on with Poole's struggles, the high turnovers. Before, he was like, oh, like, I'm forcing this pass every time in the pick and roll. This skip pass is open, or this pocket pass, a bounce pass is open. And then once you watch back the film from a lot of your games as a lead guard, like Poole did, you realize that here's where I need to be. Here's where all my teammates will be with the chemistry when that time comes. Here's how I can get them open looks and then eventually get my own. Like, Bub will find his way. AJ will find his way as well. But I think we need to learn from that. We need to learn from the SAR outlandish takes from Summer League last year and kind of realize, like, hey, these guys are 18, 19, 20 years old. They need time. And if you're going to, you know, fly out all your takes now, that's fine. I'm not saying you can't, but just be prepared to come back in a year and realize, okay, this take was a little bit premature. And I'm sure people will call you out on it, because that's kind of what Twitter does, is calling you out on it. So again, not too concerned about Bub or AJ in terms of how they've looked, I guess, as lead guards. But really, really did like the bounce back that I saw from Bub. Keyshawn as well with all those steals. I guess kind of right, you know, going down the line of some others. I touched on, obviously, all 5 starters, all 5 in double figures as well. All 5 were at least a plus 7. So I thought played really well as a cohesive unit. It's been pretty short rotation. I mean, a noteworthy DMP is Dylan Jones, who I believe, and I can pull up, I guess, the stats from his first Summer League game, because I want to make sure I get it right. But he did not play on Sunday against Brooklyn. And against Phoenix, he played off the bench, just 9 minutes, 0 of 2 from 3, 0 points, was a minus 7. And again, like, he didn't get many looks. I'm sure he was pressing because he didn't start. He knows he's on the roster bubble, and then gets a DMP in the next game against Brooklyn. You know, he's a guy that they didn't draft, a guy that they pretty much acquired to send out Colby Jones, but it, you know, in part basically to take back another second round pick to absorb his salary. He's an expiring contract after this year, I guess non-guaranteed, so they can let him go. That was intriguing to me, you know, kind of reading between the lines. Dylan Jones, only 9 minutes in game 1, did not play in the 9-man rotation in game 2. Especially when Washington is, what, 18 standard contracts now, and And some of those guys they acquired via trade could be roster bubble players. You know, the fact that Dylan Jones didn't play is certainly something I would monitor moving forward, just based on you know what that might mean for his future in Washington. And again, like I mentioned, 9-man rotation. I talked about AJ Johnson, Jameer Watkins. I think, you know, 0-4 from the field, 0-3 from three. So like shooting wasn't great, but had 2 steals, 5 points. You know, got to the line. Like I mentioned, he had I think a stretch in college where he shot 40 free throws in 2 games. Like he can get to the line, and he showed that obviously the last couple games, especially against Brooklyn, 5 of 6 from the line. Shot didn't fall, but he's a guy that I'm gonna definitely just say it right now that I'm gonna buy a lot of stock in. Because the guy is relentless on defense. Like, it's fun to watch. Like, you see a lot of guys that take, you know, a lot of pride in their offensive game and their bag and their craft on that end. You see very few guys nowadays that are like, I am a defender. That is what I do. And I will work my butt off to be the best I can on that end. Like, that's me. You see it, like, Lu Dort is the perfect example. He's gotten good at shooting and he's a better offensive player. But his thing is, like, I'm going to give max effort every time down the floor and make it as hard as I can for the other guy on defense. And that's why I thought the Lu Dort comps to Jameer Watkins were good in the pre-draft process. Because when I was watching tape on him at FSU, even at VCU, like, he really takes pride in his defense. And it's prevalent throughout summer league. He's just a menace on the defensive end, picking up, you know, sometimes full court, definitely from half court. But really liked what I saw from him, despite not making any shots against the Nets. I'm buying stock in Jameer Watkins because I really like the defense. Leaky Black, like 16 minutes, 3 of 3 from the field, made both threes, 9 points. He did have 5 fouls, was a minus 12. It's hard to evaluate Leaky Black because he's 26. Like, he's very old and I don't think is really in contention for even a two-way spot. You know, maybe he played well for the Go-Go last year. It's possible they just, you know, sign him to an Exhibit 10 and then put him on the Go-Go for another season. Like, I could see that as the most likely possibility if he doesn't get, you know, picked up by another team. He didn't play particularly bad, but again, like, nothing to say, oh, we need to give this guy a two-way spot, if you know what I mean. And you usually save the best for last. I guess I'm saving the worst for last, and that's Liam Robbins. 7-footer, 25 years old, spent last year on a two-way with the Bucks. Just didn't like really anything that he provided. Just looked really stiff on the defensive end. Didn't really offer much. And I could see why, you know, the foot speed isn't there. He's a big dude at 7 foot, but not a nimble 7 foot, you know, not a quick guy in the slightest. And seemed like he kind of got caught in cement sometimes and really didn't offer much. It's kind of like, oh, put me in a pick and roll. I'm probably going to play drop coverage. If you have a pick and pop big, I'm going to abuse him every time. And if you switch, I'm going to blow by you with a guard that has the ball. Did not like him really whatsoever on defense. Didn't think he really offered anything in terms of like rim protection either. Didn't have any blocks or I don't think really had many solid contests. Was a minus 7. Obviously didn't score. Missed both of his field goals, including a 3 that wasn't too close. Just really didn't think he offered much on either end. Didn't like the minutes. And this is a guy that I was a bit intrigued about. When he was on the roster, that was before they signed Bagley and re-upped Vukcevic on the two-way. But again, you know, it's a possible go-go candidate, and maybe he does stick with the go-go. But I no longer really view him as a guy that I think they should put on a two-way deal. I think there's a lot better players. And even on the summer league roster, like, I really want to see Jonathan Pierre. I really want to see a Cole Degac, two bigger players that I think would offer a lot more positional versatility than Liam Robbins has shown. I understand he's playing. He's 7 foot. I know he has some game. It just hasn't really showed itself through 2 summer league games. So didn't really like what I saw from Liam Robbins. But that's all the guys that played. I'm sure from what I've heard and read, it's possible that you saw the last of some of Washington's heavy hitters. I hope that's not the case. Like, it's summer league, man. We've seen a lot of injury management throughout summer league, like top picks playing one summer league game, then sitting out the next, which I think is just ridiculous. Like, it's summer league, let them play. But at the same time, like, I could very well see with Sarr maybe playing in Eurobasket that his summer league after a great performance like that is like, hey, you saw what I can do. I'm clearly, you know, at the top of my game against this level of competition. What more do you really need from me? Like, that's a possibility. Bob, I thought, had a good game. Keyshawn George has looked good. So maybe those guys don't play the rest of summer league. I'd hate to see that. I think that they have a lot to prove, and I think that it would benefit them playing against this type of competition. Maybe AJ Johnson continues to play. Certainly Dylan Jones is a guy that I think will get more run in the next couple of games, especially maybe as a roster bubble guy. But you'll start to see some guys, like I mentioned with Nicole Degac and Jonathan Pierre, but Zeke Mayo and Keyshawn Gilbert, Kadari Richmond, those are some big names that I'm intrigued to see. And I think you'll see a lot more in games 4 and 5, especially. But again, you know, a good showing from the Wizards. And after a really poor 19-point loss to Phoenix where nobody really played well, nobody passed the ball, turnovers were way up. I thought it was a really nice bounce back game. Shout out JJ Outlaw, their coach for summer league, because I thought it was a nice game plan. Not the best start either. Again, I think they were down around like 13-5 to begin. Trey had only, the only five, but then everyone started to find their groove. Sarr started to become a menace on the defensive glass, blocking shots. So I liked it. You know, all five starters in double figures, and all five of your first round picks from the last 2 years, and your first, I mean, because the Wizards drafted all of those guys instead of trading for those guys like Johnson and others. So, you know, I did like what I saw. Obviously Sarr 8 blocks, dominant, nearly had a triple double with points, rebounds, and blocks. Like, that's the Alex Sarr that the Wizards are looking for, to roam the paint, you know, come from the weak side, come from the trail position, be able to swat shots, be able to literally just have people look up and down at him in the paint one-on-one and say, I'm good, let me dribble this one out. Cause that happened, like I said, a couple of times too. So again, I thought he was really, really impressive, showed that he's way better than this competition, which he should do. You have Bob Carrington with a really nice floor game, nice bounce back game. Turnovers are up, assists weren't as high as maybe you'd expect. So that needs to improve, but I did like the efficiency, 5 of 7 from the field. Again, Keyshawn George shot very poorly, 4-16, but I don't care. I thought he was very good. Some clutch defensive plays, 5 steals. Again, you know, 9 boards, 6 assists, plus 8. Really liked his overall game on both ends. But certainly Will Riley with an efficient game from the field. Just the overall theme is Washington's first-round picks balled out, especially Trey Johnson. I mean, look, this is their leading scorer through 2 games. He looks so comfortable against this type of competition. A lot of really good, efficient hoops from Trey, from Will Riley. I just, you know, what I expected to see coming into summer league, I kind of saw tonight against Brooklyn from their heavy hitters. So a nice little showing from the Wizards there. I believe their next game is in 2 days. So it should be Tuesday night. Yeah, against the Sixers. So Edgecombe, I don't know if he'll play. He has that thumb injury. But like Adem Bona is on the Sixers summer league roster. They have Jalen Hood-Schifino. Like, they have some guys, Janai Broome, who they drafted 35th. So that should be another cool game. Obviously Ace Bailey and the Jazz are upcoming for the Wizards as well. But again, in that game, like, if Sarr and all of them play, I'd expect another pretty solid performance from them. If they don't, it's still going to be fun because, you know, Trey Johnson, I think will continue to play. And same goes for Will Riley, who I think will continue to play. You'll get some looks from Dylan Jones, some guys like Kadari Richmond, Keyshawn Gilbert. So again, intrigued about that, but certainly intrigued about Sarr's 8 blocks and very intrigued about the Trey Johnson, 21 points on an efficient 7-11 from the field. Will Riley, 5 of 6, 16 points. Good games from Bub and Keyshawn. A nice 6-point win for the Wizards. And a really nice showing altogether. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. I'll be back ideally after the next game against Philly to do a recap of that. And then there's a back-to-back, I believe, right after that. So probably we'll do, you know, group that into one episode like I did for the first 2 games of Summer League. But that's going to do it. Again, let me know in the comments what your biggest takeaways are from the first 2 Summer League games, whether you're really high on some guys, whether you've cooled off on some. Who are you really excited about? What performances have you, you know, really excited for the upcoming season? Let the takes fly in the comments. Obviously, I respond to all of them when I get to them. So again, thank you for sticking around. Thanks for listening. If you haven't, hit the subscribe button. We're closing in on 500 subs. That would be pretty cool when we hit it. So again, if you haven't subbed, go for it. If you have, thank you. And if you're listening, I appreciate it as well. The support's been great, you know, throughout free agency, the draft, throughout summer league as well. So again, very grateful for that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Go Wiz.